Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. For the last year and a half, we've more or less become accustomed, some level or another, in some area of our life, that when you enter into a facility, there had to be certain qualifications taken care of. Some of those qualifications may vary, but even this week, as we entered into a hospital over in Sherman, you walked up and you looked at a little iPad, and your face was in that iPad, and from 2 feet away, that iPad could tell if you had a temperature or not. And we placed a mask on, and then we went about in our business. You know, no matter what, the Bible surely has given us some instruction as well. He gave us a formula or something of some things you need to know if you want to enter in. So he said, enter into his gates or the door a certain way. He said, you need to bring thanksgiving. And if you want to go even a little further into my presence, you can bring your praise. So as we've entered into the last year and a half into these facilities, it's the same way with God. I need to grab a little thanksgiving in my life, and I need to grab a little praise. And if I do, I can get through the door into his glory, and I can sup with him and him with me. In my mind this morning, I tried to come into my thoughts, and God, you've given us reasons to rejoice. But your word says, I will rejoice in thy salvation. It says, I'm going to rejoice in the hope and in the help. I'm going to rejoice because the shadow of the wings of the Lord cover me. I will rejoice because you reign forevermore. I will rejoice because of truth and knowledge. I know that there's a scripture that we learned. The shortest verse in the Bible is what?
Jesus wept.
Do you know there's another verse, though, that only has two words in it? If you're going to get a little picky, Jesus did weep, but I'll give you another verse you can remember really quick here this morning to take into your week. It's two words, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, and it simply says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. I don't know about you, but anytime I get into a place with a little echoes, I want to see how much it can echo. Give you an echo as we rise to our feet for this moment. I'm going to give you a scripture that has a little echo. It says, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. I wonder if there could be an echo of praise and rejoicing right now, Lord. We're coming into your presence with thanksgiving, and we're coming into your court with praise, and we want to echo our praise unto you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We rejoice in you, God. We rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in our hope. We rejoice in our help. We rejoice in you.
Oh God,
today in the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have a couple announcements, and then we'll go right back into worshiping. Does it feel good to worship? I'm so thankful to be able to worship. So this week, our service has changed from Wednesday night to Thursday night. The reason we're doing that is because the missionaries and our pastor, sister, brother, and sister Rick Robinson, they will be in town and they'll be ministering to us. And there might be another special guest, so you just want to come and see who that might be. So that's this Thursday night, the 29th, and that's his actual birthday, so that's really neat. Texas Youth Conference in Lufkin this weekend also, and the Rhodes wanted you to know that we will be leaving on Wednesday at 10 a.m. So make sure, just go ahead and say 9:45. We're leaving at 9:45. That way we'll all be there and leave at 10, and that's this weekend, so be praying for your youth as they go to that. Next Sunday, August the 1st, is a pastor celebration after the morning service. So that's different, and that's going to be fun in the Family Life Center. Any announcements about that?
I'll get with the ladies with what to bring today. If I don't get it to you today, I will get it to you this week.
Awesome. We thank Sister Alicia for that. Give her a hand clap. Saturday, August 7th, is the Jefferson outing.
So that is going to be a day trip, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Just try to make plans on your calendars. We're going to leave here at 8 o'clock, and we're going to get to Jefferson around 9:30 or 10, and it'll just be a downtown antiquing, eating, fellowship. If you want to come back, you know, take your own vehicle and come back when you get ready, or we can carpool or maybe take a vehicle. So just sign up in the foyer so we kind of know how to plan for that.
August 8th, that's the Sunday following that, we will be having a regular morning service and then an evening youth service. So we're going to start that back every second Sunday of the month, and that's exciting. So anyways, why don't you just look at somebody and wave to ask them, are you ready to worship some more?
Who you are,
way maker.
Him. We have a few prayer requests that we're going to take before the Lord here today. Reverend Anthony Mangan, he needs a healing in his body. Brother Anthony Trimble, Sister Carolyn Clark, Pam Knight, Sam Hearn, who's a 39-year-old in a motorcycle accident. He had brain injuries. Dr. Jose Gomez, his father, Chris Widener, Denise Bale, healing after her surgery. Jesse Bolton, Melinda Hill, Elias Olivio, Earl and Lanita Unra, Wendy Russian, Tom Herndon, Mike Pence, Wyatt Robertson, Kay Brown, Billy and Jeremy Trinato, Brother and Sister Bob Bolton, Geraldine, Elijah Robinson, Sue Brooks, Cara Dean, David Stevens, Paul Abston, Gary McKinnon, Brother and Sister John Proctor, Brother and Sister Arlton Bristow, and Georgia McCool. In that song, it says, even when I don't see it and whenever I don't feel it. I'm going to ask my mother a question real quick.
Mom, whenever your leg was injured, did you feel that? She said, yes, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of times in our lives, we feel and we see the pain and the problems in our lives. It's so easy to get caught up in that because it's something that we can see and we can feel. But just like all the people that have to work behind the scenes that make every cooperation, every organization work, that's what God's doing constantly, 24/7 in our lives. And now if you look at my mom, Mom, just be honest. Did you see or did you feel God? Ladies and gentlemen, she couldn't walk 2 or 3 more steps. She had to be carried out to the car. But she had the faith to receive a blessing and an anointing in her body. And if you notice, she's up here in this altar, and I'm not throwing any shade, but she wasn't just up here this week, people. She was up here last week. She might not have known what the world was going to bring at her that she was going to deal with, but she had that faith. And she was still reaching out for God. If we have that same faith and that same just get out of my way, devil, I need a blessing, I promise you, you're not going to see it and you're not going to feel it. But if you look at her now, she's walking up here and she's praising the Lord. So I will tell you right now, you're not going to see it always and you're not going to feel it always. But God is working. So if you have a need at all, I pray and I really heavily urge you to step forward. Because there's a God that is working, and we don't see it and we don't feel it, but He's working and things are changing. God, oh, I plead the blood of Jesus in this place here today. Oh, God. That miracles would take place here today, God. Lord, but there's going to be some faith in this place. There's going to have to be some belief in this place, God. And it's hard because we don't see it and we don't feel it always. But Lord, you're working and we know that. Jesus, I pray your anointing and your spirit would be in this place here today. In Jesus' name.
See a to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something else to play.
I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something else to play. I believe you'll lead me through it.
You said,
If I'm stepping out of line, Pastor can correct me real quickly. But I felt this last week, and I didn't have the faith in God that I had, and I just didn't do it. But today, we're going to shout the name of the Lord. Because I was reading my Bible this past week, and I can't even remember the story right now. But marching around the walls of Jericho wasn't the only story where the seventh day walls fell. There's another story. I want to say it's in, I can't even remember. But they did an action for 7 days and things changed. So today, we're going to shout the name of the Lord with everything that we have. And maybe I'm so hyped up on the Lord right now. Because yesterday I got a little bit of a conviction. I woke up at 8 a.m. and I went and played volleyball for a full day. Last week and the 2 weeks before that, I was late to prayer meeting. I was late to prayer meeting and I was late to praise practice. And praise practice didn't start till 9 a.m., y'all. And so after that volleyball tournament, God was like, really, Sterling? You can show up at 8 a.m. and play volleyball till 6 p.m. So maybe I got a little bit of conviction in me, and maybe I'm trying to push it off on y'all because I feel too bad with it. But today, I promise you something's going to happen in this place. These songs that we're singing, man, no. I mean, this is working out way too good. So on the count of three, we're going to say it one time, and then we're going to do it 6 more times, okay? 1, 2, 3. We got 6 more people on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. We got 5 more people. 1, 2, 3. Giving up, yeah, we got 3 more. 1, 2, 3. Hey, we got 2 more, church. Don't give up on me now. 3, 2, 1. Jesus. We got 1 more, folks. And this is where we typically give up. It's day 6. We don't feel like walking around. We're gonna do it anyway. 1, 2, 3.
this time, we'll take our Sunday morning offering. I don't ever want to pass up a moment that God wants to change somebody's heart or mind or deepen their spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to say something real quick. Not only has God worked a miracle in my leg, but that same night, because I went home earlier, I had reached out to a friend and found out they were in a dire situation that night, and I mean a dire situation. And so because I had gone home with my leg, I was able to reach out to her at where I would have been at later time or whatever. And so I just, you know, and it isn't anything about me building me up, because I feel so inadequate most all the time for God to ever use me at all. And the devil loves to throw my weaknesses and past up in my face daily. But because of that being home, I was able to reach out to her. And I do feel like that God used me to minister to her that night. And so I thought, you know what, God, I mean, I appreciate you healing my leg. But if it took my leg being out for me to get home, to be able to have the time and slow down to help reach out to that, because that's really what I want to be, and that's what we're here for. You know, as our pastors taught us, Luke 4:18-19. If you feel aimless in your life, read Acts 4:18-19. God's given us all some special gifts, but that's our commission for every single one of us. And so that's my prayer for him to use me. And I feel like he was able to use me that night, because I had to go home and slow down that early, you know. And I thank him for that. And I believe that he intervened in that situation too. And I want to stand here and give him praise for two miracles right now this morning. And I want you to know, those times you may not be in dire need, someone else in your world might be. So you absorb everything you can when you're here, because our world, they are depleted and they need us desperately. I love every one of you. You are all a strength to me. When I look across here and I see worship and faces filled with God's glory, it is such a blessing to me, and I love y'all so much.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the privilege to get to worship you. Through our worship, God, and through tithes, God, I pray that you would bless those who give today and bless those who are unable to give. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I place my hope in Calvary, where blood spilled from a rugged tree. For my ransom.
Oh, somebody before you're seated as if to say, I believe God's moving in your world. And as you're seated, I want you to know that God has great, great, great faith in you. I wish you'd sort of look at somebody and tell them, God's got great faith in you. He would never allow you to go this far in this world if he didn't have faith in you. He would never instruct you in righteousness if he didn't have faith in you. He would not have died and rose again and went through the stench of rebellion, of horrible treatment as the righteous Son of God if he didn't have great faith in the people he died for and that he has sent ministry to. And so it's only right that you're feeling and experiencing knowledge that creates an appetite to please him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You can tell by the structure of life, the way we live, the way we think, and when it comes into alignment, when you align yourself with the obedience, march six times, 6 days around the walls of Jericho, God knows what it takes to create an earthquake that will hit only in a certain location. And the earth opened up and swallowed the walls that were forbidding the future. Be patient. Be sure, but be ready. The Beatitudes are a phenomenon. Our children ought to be able to quote them. The Beatitudes are critical to the law of alignment. You may have a spark plug and you may have a computer that can generate all the current necessary, but if there's not a connection, all you've got is all the material. Connecting one truth with another, then applying the spirit of truth to life, puts the devil in a horrifying place because he lives in darkness and you are the light of the world when you do those kind of things, and light illuminates the source of problem in a marriage, in a home, in a head, or in a world. And our world lieth in darkness. The Word of God is a light. And the reason there are in darkness is very simple. Not living in the Word creates a dark level of political systems. We ought to thank God today that the church hadn't been taken out of here and we're still sitting here. Father, thank you today. Thank you today. I cannot tell you what it's like to pastor one of the greatest churches, one of the greatest groups of people that God has got confidence in. The confidence that I see God putting in us, to whom much is given as much required, and the requirement level is never greater than what is available. So we are faced with some settings in our homes, in our city, in our county, and in our country. And God has reserved, the book says, this day for the day of judgment. Light always has to do with understanding or truth or ability, those critical issues. That's light. Mainly the wisdom or knowledge of God. He said, my people are gone into captivity for a lack of light or knowledge. When you can't see past the door of your house, there is a need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Rightness is alignment with the Word. The next thing is a renewing of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't say you're saved because you got the Holy Ghost or because you were born. He says you're saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Each day is the day that the Lord hath made. And the writer said, I'll get up and renew my covenant. Lord, I'm praying to you today. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom. I need your word. I need your power. My children are depending on it. My wife is depending on it. My city where I live is depending on it. This world is depending on a city that's got a church and a light and a glory and a power and an authority. I am telling you, you've got authority closer than you think to command demons out of your home, out of your head, and out of your world. That happens as we move forward in walking and talking and living in the light. It's phenomenal stuff. We are going to see miracles because there are needs. And somebody is going to rise up to resurrect that kind of power that creates the healing of the nations, the Bible said. I thank you for forcing me to pray more, for forcing me to study deeper, for forcing me to put more time and emphasis into this idea, it's all about over. There is only so much that God will tolerate. And you've got example after example in the Old Testament and the New. He will only go so far with a city or a world or a setting before he totally destroys it by a flood, totally destroys it by fire, or turns it over to the devil for the destruction of itself. We are working today against a lot of things. But today, God heard your cry. I thought this showed up better on my computer, so you're going to have to let me help explain to you a little bit about this particular stairwell. This door is open. Over and again, he said, I have set before thee freedom or a door. And so he says, I have set before thee an open door. And so then he tells us in John the 12th chapter, verse 24, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You may have a sack full of corn somewhere in the library of your closet or wherever in your home. But until that corn falls into the ground and die, it's just another piece of truth. When the truth that is the bread corn that was bruised, Jesus was referred to as the bread corn that was bruised. He had to die to birth a church. In order for one stalk of corn to grow, one kernel of corn reproduces itself on the average of 800 times. Two ears of corn out of one kernel of corn that's willing to be hid with Christ in God or die in God's earth and let God let the rain fall on it. I'm telling you, the water and the truth are baptism in Jesus' name, and walking in the word or the truth is critical to the reformation of great peace have they that love the law of the Lord, and nothing shall by any means offend them or cut them down or put them out of place. I'm here to tell you, if you find a place in Jesus Christ, He is the resurrection and the life. When you find yourself born again of the water and the Spirit, you become a part of the body of Christ. And I don't want to be a finger that has to be cut off because I did not obey the voice of the brain. I want to have the wisdom of God and the glory of faith and the power of God to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I refuse to bring two daughters into this world and leave them feeling helpless that there's no hope for their future because they had maybe some difficult times. I'm here to tell you, He is the resurrection and the life, and there is a glory cloud hanging over this world right now, and it's called the name of the Lord as a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. But it's totally impossible for us to crisscross the word and have the promises of the word until we find an altar daily and crucify this flesh and say to God, not my will but thine be done today. No matter how they treat me and no matter how they treated you, I want to live just like you lived. You gave a prayer for those that crucified you. You said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing to those who were bruising your body and causing you to feel the malignant pain of an entire generation and a world without end. God, I can't thank you enough for showing us how to be the corn that falls into the ground and dies out to our will, that your will may survive, and that the new will of testament of God, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, lives in the promise that if the church will die out to carnality and worldliness and the things of the world, He said, I will make you to live a life that you cannot believe it if I told you how great it's going to be. I wish some men would stand up, lead your home in worship today, and say, God, we believe the word. We believe your bloodline. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing that any should perish. I want to join Him in that anthem. I am confident He got out of the grave and He ascended on high and He led captivity captive. And one of the things He left for us was an open door. And you've got all the steps or truths you need to walk as high and to into authority and to power over this flesh as you really want to have. Matter of fact, I'm just going to say it like it is. You're enjoying now what you sowed a year ago. I hope to God it's peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not too late to sow it today, because whatever's in the ground in faith and given to God is going to rise out of the graveyard if it has to. He came out of the grave. I thought sure there'd be several men that would lead their family and say, hey, preach it. Go. We do better than this for a ball game. We get more excited over a nibble on a worm. I got a bite. What? Man, you wouldn't believe the bear I saw. He's a trophy. I'm going back. I heard a message that I'm going back again to hear another message. I felt a touch of God. I can't wait to get back to the prayer chamber. I can't wait to get back to the Word. I saw a picture of me walking with Jesus. And I know now that I'm not yet what I'm going to be. But I know this. I'm going to keep climbing. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to keep believing. I'm not turning loose. If I brought a kid into this world, I need to teach them how to shout. If I brought a kid into this world, I need to teach them what to obey. If I brought a kid into this world, I need to point to them the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the promise or the glory nor the Father, however you want to say it, without Jesus. Oh, I wish somebody would clap your hands to him. Woo! What do I truly want? And all you got to do to answer that question is what you've given yourself to the last week. You say, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Eternity's long. It's forever. I don't think we get it. We've used the word forever for a day when we were up against it.
Man, I've been going through this hell forever.
And you may have suffered for a day and say that. I've been going through this hell for a week. I don't think you've measured yet by eternity. I don't think we understand the lack of prayer leaves us vulnerable to continuing in sin. I'm not talking about taking drugs and doing all the other stuff. We classify all that as sin. Jesus said whatsoever is not of faith is sin. No, I'm not playing game with your kids. You brought them here. I'm going to preach to them. I'm not leaving them vulnerable to the damnation of hell and the darkness of devils. I am going to introduce them at least to the light of the world where they have a chance and they have an opportunity and there's a glory and there is a power and there is a rich resource. More often than not, we choose our future based on feelings. I see myself riding in a Rolls Royce. I see myself with the best boat on the earth. I see myself going down a mountain, skiing like a pro. I see I can do that up here. When I get out there, I'm scared out of my mind. I look for a third or fourth ski pole. One with wheels. Do I know myself? Why and for what was I born? You were born an eternal creature. You can get mad at God, but it's too late to do that. You've got life. You've got opportunity. Choose you this day. Sometimes you have to choose it every morning because this flesh will wake up with new appetite. And that's why the apostle said, I crucify this flesh every day because its voice rises up and wants me to live my life for what's going to burn up. Do I know enough to decide and commit? Now, no hands raised, but there's no boy I was talking to some years ago. And I said, well, why do you think you're miserable? He said, I married the wrong woman. Could it be she married the wrong man? Oh, I know real is not supposed to be happening today. We like TV shows where it's not real. But Jesus is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And we know the difference. I know when I'm living in peace. And I know when I'm miserable. And I can do something about it. I can seek the Lord while he may be found of us. And I will find restoration. I will find renewing. I will find legitimacy. I will find glory. I will find illumination. I will find wisdom. I will find strength. I will find patience. I will find joy. I will find glory. I know what's behind the door. And the enemy would cause you and I to sense that we have restrictions and confinement by flesh. So he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. I hate living alone. Ask your neighbor, do you live alone? Or is Jesus there when you get up first thing in the morning? Do you live alone, or is Jesus there on the job when they make fun of you for living for God? Are you living alone, or is Jesus in the car with you where there is no fear? Say, Pastor, you preaching hard today. I'm going to tell you, you hadn't even heard hard till you wind up missing the boat. You're not going to miss the boat on my ship. If you follow me as I follow him, we're all on our way to joy unspeakable and full of glory and power and sustenance and victory and mercy and wisdom and knowledge and everything. I'll tell you what that stairwell is. You say, man, you're expecting me to climb every day? Are you kidding me? Why stay down here with the rats? Why stay in a closet where carnality is eating up our kids' future? Somebody say, I'm on a stairway. I'm climbing higher every day. I may not have gotten there everywhere I wanted yesterday, but I'm struggling to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, to be at ease in Zion and just stay where I am, because I have seen so many people with things and they look like they're happy. Would you rather have short-term happiness because you had an extramarital affair? Would you rather have short-term fatness because you were able to have what we call a blessing? It's not blessed to be blessed with a lot of money if you don't know how to use it. He said the love of money is the root. All evil. Now please don't give up your job. I live off the tithes. Be a good worker. This church is able to be here. Have young'uns on the platform singing like they sang this morning. My eyes were so bleeding with tears. We got a bunch of them over there right now. Coming up, and they're looking unto us as leaders. What are they seeing? We ought to be worshiping in front of them at the house. We ought to be worshiping in front of them in the car. We ought to, come on, Daddy. Daddy, it's your turn to respond to life. You're the one that was the source of every child born. The woman just provided the place for the seed. You're the one that's the father, the source, the reason they're here. Show them the way. Love them into the truth. Teach them the way of the Lord. And you will talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. Tell them why you don't curse, lie, cheat, and steal. Tell them why you dress godly and holy and fearfully in the eyes of the Lord that is coming back to find a bride that's looking for Him and longing for Him and saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I wish somebody stand up and praise Him. He deserves it. He's been waiting for a harvest. I wish some of you pray one for another. Pray for a brother. Pray for a sister. Pray for a dad. Pray for a son. It's time to pray. Praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. We are about to have revival services every time we come to the house of God. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? Because the darkness is settling in. Even on born-again believers, they're getting trifling. They're getting where they absolutely want to do their own thing. And judgment is about to come. Separate ye the light from the dark. It's no longer going to be a dull gray. It's about to get black or white. It's about to get righteous or unrighteous. It's about to be glory or no glory. Do I know how? I wish somebody say how. To gain results that satisfy my forever life. I know how to get some excitement for this life. I know how to get some excitement in the physical realm. But do I know how to get excitement about living godly? When the Bible said exercising thyself unto godliness, He means practice it enough until it's natural. Until a 100-pound barbell is nothing, Brother Randy. Right now, if I put a 150-pound barbell on your shoulder, you would sink. Thank you. I'm right between bursting out in tears because there's a world that's going to what we call the house of God. And they can't even lift a finger to help get their kids out of a mess. They don't know how to get them into forgiveness. They don't know how to get them into mercy. They don't know what grace even means. They've accepted the carnal definition of grace. You know what I say about it. I believe we're saved by grace through faith. Because the Bible said, how shall they know without a teacher? How shall they hear without a teacher or a preacher? Grace taught Noah how to build a ship to the saving of his house, and he dedicated himself to his kids. And
And I'm going to try to show them the biggest worldly stuff. And that's not going to take care of an empty grave. I'm here to tell you, I don't want my kids and you to die. I want you to have life everlasting. Cannot imagine. Somebody read Proverbs 18:1 real quick. Somebody's got a Bible. Or a good phone with a Bible program. Proverbs 18:1. Preaching is designed to create hunger. Did you find it? Go ahead. No. Stand up, bring your lungs. Connect. Come here. Get up here where people can hear you and see if you're smiling or smirking. Okay.
Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom.
Who is all wise? Who is all wise? God alone knows how to create a heaven and earth. God alone knows how to save. Don't you leave it up to men that don't preach all the truth to get you into a holy city. I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, many deceivers shall come in the last day, deceiving and being deceived. They're not doing it because they don't think it's right. They're doing it because they think it's all okay. Now here's what the book says. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. And then he defines it. Teaching them to depart from sin.
I mean, I got that. I didn't graduate, but
I went back to school at an altar. And I went back to school and listened to 2,000 plus preachers. I didn't come to you by myself today. I've been in training for years. Not to mention, when that Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, it doesn't mean get on my back. All right, Andrew, find you a place. When it says bury one another's burdens, you can't do it alone. You got to find a place where you're just part of the sandwich. When he said, I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, the Holy Ghost is like your tire. It's got to be the air. It's the oxygen. It's the ability for a tire not to wobble down the road and leave you stranded by coming apart. I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost is the glory of God unto salvation. And bearing one another's burdens, you can't do it in the flesh. You can't do it with brain power because I don't have enough answer. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's the word, and that's the Holy Ghost. And thank you, gentlemen, I'm telling you, the United Pentecostal Church of Paris is on its way up. We may be having some stagnancy, but we're getting a refreshing. Not getting down on you. I'm not getting down on me. If I'd have been a better preacher 30 years ago, we'd already be ahead of this. So don't think for one minute I'm laying it off on you, but I'm not going to lay it off on forever. I'm coming out of the grave. I'm coming out of the past. I'm moving into the future. I'm sorry that they had to wander for 38 years in the wilderness, but I'm not going to keep going in circles. There's one reason that I have found out. You may see it.
that many people will not accept new truth because it makes them feel like that people that died without the truth they're about to endorse, it's going to make them look like they went to hell. Is that right, Brother Dickey? It's amazing. And then you got Pentecostals that if we don't do it like they did it, we're going to hell. And so we want to repeat the past. I know 7 of you did say amen. Instead of quit walking around after the walls fall, which is a type of enter ye into the kingdom of God, because the walls are the fact of the way I lived and all the things that were in me, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is when the walls of flesh fall and the glory of the Lord shatters our past and creates in us the righteousness of the King. That's not about physical cities falling. That is about the walls that have held us hostage inside with some nourishment, with some nice things. But outside is a living God with greater things than these, more than ever, more than enough, glorious in all of His ways. The same with the people in Samaria. Tried to stay in the place, inside the gates of religion. And they started eating up their kids. That bothered me for years until I understood that your kids are your future. The Bible said they're an inheritance of the Lord. And when you cannot teach them more things that are competing with now. It's why we have revival. Not a time when we shout about who we are. And because the preacher preached like I wanted him to preach. We need evangelists that will preach new horizons. Prophetic ministry that will lead us to refreshings. It's in your Bible. They ate up their kids. You don't eat your kids physically. You just take them in circles where they never get any better than what we were when we started. Grow in grace and in knowledge was not just a cute quip from heaven. Say, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Do you have any idea how long eternity is? You would have begged for me to preach twice this hard if you understand what's happening to our world. The decadence, the crime, the chivalry is gone from masterful creatures of creation. I'm here to tell you that your world is filled with idolatry. They worship and serve the creator. I mean the creation. More than the creator. And give me a good ball game. Give me a soda pop. And honey, keep the hamburgers coming. I'll shout all day to a football. I'll shout all day to a home run. Don't think that I'm coming out of the Bible. Go read your Bible. They talk like this back there in the prophetic days. They talk back this in this in the day when they were trying to dig them out of hell. I'm here to tell you that's where we're headed. We're getting our kids out of hell. We're going to take them to heaven. We're going to take our wives to heaven. Us men are going to get some backbone. We're going to stand in the truth. We're going to stand in the gap. We're going to die out.
We're not going to be just another group in town. They took note of that early church, that they had been with. That's not near enough that don't know that. They took note of them. They had been with Jesus because they were acting like Jesus. They were talking like Jesus. They were acting like Jesus. They took note. He told them, I'm the light of the world. And they tried to put the light out, but what they did, they shattered the globe. And more light came out of that dark tunnel called the graveyard. Well, we're going to have to get to moving. How is your real appetite today? Are you having desires already to get out of here so you can get home to eat another fat meal? I can do that now. But I didn't hold back when I was fat. This has all had to do with the doctor telling me to do this. So I don't get a real lot of credit for it. Based on experience, how is your supply providing your daily needs? What would really satisfy the needs of your home? What would really give you peace that passes understanding every morning when you get up and you look in the mirror and you say, I know one thing. In Him, I have found a river of life. In Him, I have found the ability to take wisdom to my family in the time of need. Say, Pastor, you just preaching, you're making it almost seem like a mountain that's too tall. Faith removes mountains. Yes. Yes. Did you understand what I said? And that's straight out of the book. Your faith will move the mountain out of the way. But as long as you try to think by carnal means, how am I going to get this done? It'll never get done. That's why except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Your ideas have got to die. Your way of doing life has got to die. Your thoughts about life has got to die. You got to get in the ground and the Word and the Spirit and come out of there with a tongue-talking experience and a glorified mind and a glorified idea and walk out of there with thus saith the Lord. With thus saith the Lord. My people. Would you stand, Brother Cody, I mean? Brother Todd, would you stand? Look, somebody say skinny and plump. You can't eat enough good food to cast devils out of your house. And you can't lose enough weight and look like Mr. Athletic and convince your kids they need to go to a prayer chamber. Ain't gonna happen. We glory in no flesh. No flesh. Be it rich. Fat in the Bible means wealthy and rich and increased. You got it all. And physically fit is identified with spiritually fit. All the fruit of the Spirit, knowledge of the Word. Somebody say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're only as free as much truth as you believe and obey. Because faith without works is dead. And that's why I started to tell you what you thank you for helping. I started to tell you a while ago. Faith plus nothing minus nothing. Are you kidding me? Nobody in that Bible got that. Children of Israel had to walk around the walls. They had to come out of Egypt. They had to go between two big, huge horizons of the Red Sea. How scared would you be if 5 minutes ago that this water covered the whole Red Sea area and all of a sudden the wind came back and blew the water out? You think you're going to leave your kids in there after not seeing that for a few days? You're going to be scared to death that the water's going to crush you back. But though your sins be as scarlet, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the other side of all of this without faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the bread. He is the walk. He is the talk. He is the love. He is the generous giver. Now, please don't go home and try to do all this right now. That's why so many people have given up. They try to go home immediately after hearing a message like this, and they're going to straighten it out all in a time. No, no, no. It's going to be like mowing a yard. You're going to go in circles till you get the mowed. I've been 70-something years working on this. I'm not a TV preacher. However, I look to be on TV before long. And you're going to pay for it. That's right. Y'all better come get ready to play some music in about 15 minutes. Vance Habner, one of my old independent Baptist writers, he said, if you want to know if tobacco's filthy, put it on the church steps when you go in. No hog or dog will bother it while you're gone. That's the Baptist preaching. That's the guy that said, I'm 55 years old. Never owned an automobile. Finally got it. Sarah's going to drive while I'm going to pray. He said, brother, you better pray. You're safer on a battlefield than you are on the highway these days. You're not safe just because everybody's going to movies that are X-rated. You're not safe because you send kids that don't really understand life to see TV shows and R-rated movies and all that. The Bible said the eye is the candle of the body. He said, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm not telling you don't watch some movies. I do. I just am careful. When I watch one, and if I see one in front of my kids, I'm not going to keep it on. That has bad. We can be disciplined. I agree that we don't have to quit everything, but we need to quit everything that's targeting our kids to lead their lust in the wrong direction. Jesus said in Revelation, I know thy works. What does that mean? He said, I've been watching you every day. If you think Siri's the only thing that's in connection with you, you got a soul and a mind. And the Bible makes it very clear. I know your thoughts before you even enter the prayer chamber. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. You got enough strength to pray. You've got enough strength to read the Word. You've got enough strength. And by the way, get back in the book of Esther again. Some of you have already told me you've already been there. I almost preached that, but God sent me to preach this today. But we're on the horizon of a brand new king and kingdom. And you want to read and particularly focus on chapters. Well, I don't know which ones, but 7 and 8 are phenomenal. Behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but they're not. He knows the difference in apostolic life and apostolic life. I can tell anybody I go to a Pentecostal church and I preach at a Pentecostal message. But he knows if it's an anointed, God-sent light to those in need. Need, if you still got a need, you're living in dark. Don't get mad about it. Just seek him in more prayer. He said, they that hunger and thirst after me shall find me. I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. And no man comes to the source or the Father but by me. I'm the bloodline. I'm the wisdom of God in revelation. God is not slack. Would you read that out loud to us? That last thing. God, stand up. That way your lungs can exhale real good. No, no, wait. Get over to the side so you can see us and it. There you go.
God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is yea and amen.
I don't care how many people tell you, you can't find joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I don't care what. God is not slack concerning, I have a kingdom and you can enter in, but you got to come in the door. You can't come in on a secret slatter. You can't come in on a false pretense. You got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then when you walk through the door, you're going to find that the promises of God are yea and amen, and they will never be violated. Backsliding is not quit believing that you got the real thing. Backsliding is when it's not happening. Righteousness, peace, and joy are eternal in the heavens. And if you're not experiencing one or more of those, seek ye the Lord while he may be found of thee, for the Lord is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Woo. Start talking the Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, there ought to be somebody in your natural spirit running and saying, God, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. How many of you know the door that he opened for us? The resurrection and the life. That empty tomb tells us about our freedom that's already bought. Our privileges that are already in place. And again, I tell you, don't try to go out and rob a bank today to try to get all the riches. Just walk in truth. Start with the two main commandments.
Love thy God with all thy heart, load, soul, mind, and strength.
Love the Lord thy God with all. Somebody say all. Thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want you to look out here and see who's mistreated you. Don't look at your mama. Oh, that was Brother Ronnie you were looking at. Come on, folks. Life's real. I refuse to be some little lethargic preacher and memorize a few things that would intrigue your mind. I am interested in your forever. That door means something to this preacher. You are going to walk through it. You, son, are going to stand up, man. Look at this guy. Stand on that bench. They can't all see that smile. Smile, wave at him. I want you to tell him, we're going to keep the church fervent. We're going to keep the church in truth. We're going to make sure your grandkids. Boy, he got happy then. He knows what all that means. We're going to make sure your grandkids have got a place to go where they can get rid of their history and gain a future that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. This group
is not going to settle down on this side of Jordan. That's what they became, infatuated with the good things they got and forgot the promises that were on the other side. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to pick out some enemy. Jimbo? No kidding, I read your mind. Go tell him, I forgive you. That's right. Oh, you can be sick. But my help's, he's here for eternity. He likes that eternal salvation. Thank you, sir. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's no blood kin to that guy. But he would do almost anything for that guy. Why? But now, pick out somebody over here that's your enemy. No, don't. Because there's not any. But you do the same for your enemies as you do for your friends. But that's not an American culture. That's a heavenly culture. We got to stand. I am worn, slept out. I have set before thee an open door. No man can open it. There's only one bloodline that can open up your future. And the Bible said, Jesus speaking, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to any of the influence, the riches, the glory of the Father, which is the resource, the power, the glory, the wisdom. But he said, I am the door. Because I died, and I would never expect you to die out if I didn't give you the example. So I am the way. But I showed you what that way leads to. Somebody say an empty grave. Oh, come on. Evidently, I'm not a good choir director. With a loud voice, an empty grave. They think nothing about telling you to do that at a football game and you jump to it. On the edge, and the women are saying, sit down. Preacher gets up here and fights devils all week long, all year long, and for 38 years, and he introduces us to something that might have some riches of the inheritance associated with it. I'll be back next Sunday, maybe. We pray through in about 3 minutes here. Everybody standing wherever you are or making an altar wherever you are, and put your flesh on the line today and say, God, I crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. I'm going to provide for Lamar County the church they deserve. Sing it.
You say,
I encourage you to pray in the Holy Ghost. For the Spirit maketh intercession with the Father. When you talk in tongues, your soul goes directly to the source of all life. It's not a Pentecostal thing, it's a God thing.
husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your family. If you can't get to them, to put your hands on them. Whatever you got to do, pray a prayer of faith. We're not walking alone.
I want you to get this, because this is critical to the rest of your day. God don't wait till tomorrow to forgive you. If you had to put anything on the altar, understand He's an immediate God. The Bible said He's a now God. The moment you ask for forgiveness, it's blotted out. You'll have to do it again before it gets back on His book. So I want you to praise Him for forgiveness, because mercy makes forgiveness an everlasting thing. The book said His mercy endureth to all generations. Your kids can get out of whatever they got themselves into, but they're going to look at a light from now on. Go ahead and sing it.
My hope,
though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. One act of faith reduces a mountain of sin and opens that door to the value of glorious life. Don't you let the devil bring up your history. Not after you put it under the blood. Just tell him, if he wants to own it, go get it. It's under the blood. You live in guilt. Not 1 minute past this day.
Save my life.